Welcome to the Audio Description Narrators of America Know Your Narrator series. Today, we're very honored to have Herb Merriweather with us. He's a voice talent and does a lot of audio description narration. Thanks for joining us, Herb.
Thank you very much, Roy, for having me. I'm honored, man. This is so very cool. Thank you. It's awesome because, you know, like I said, you know, it's an awesome thing for audio description in itself. You know, so the fact that you're promoting it in such a way, and I saw the roster, so I'm like, you know, so I'm very, very, very honored to be a part of it. So thank you.
Well, let's jump right in. What do you love about audio description?
The thing I love most about audio description is the fact that I get a chance to use, it's the opportunity to use my voice in service of others. When I first got into voiceover way back in St. Louis, back in the Mesozoic era, I was volunteering for a place called Our Lady of the Snows. And it was called Radio Information Service. They did that. It was back in the day when they had the box receivers, you know, the closed caption radio boxes, and the archdiocese would pay for them, and they would spread them around, you know, the different, you know, nursing homes and this and that. And I would go in, and as a matter of my voiceover discipline and practice, you know, because I was still in school then, I'd go in and read and, you know, and read and volunteer. And I got a chance to do something on a regular basis. You know, I was reading the Psalms for about, I think it was 15 or 20 minutes every week. And I actually had a chance to start interacting with some of the listeners, you know, people were writing me and communicating with me and saying how much they enjoyed it. And that in itself was just too much, you know, so I love that part of it. That's the thing I love the most, you know.
And it sounds like the two things that I'm hearing about that experience with the radio, you were working on a regular basis. You were doing this ongoing, and also there was a connection to the audience.
Most definitely. And that's the thing that people need to understand now. Maybe some of the people with, you know, with the deep pockets need to understand that there is an audience, first of all, and that they're very, very connectable. You know what I mean? You have to approach this audience with some maturity. I'll say it like that.
Can you name some other experiences in your voice talents, your experience or your history, in addition to the radio that really helps serve you when you're doing your audio description voice?
Absolutely. Things bounce off of other things. It's a voice, but you know what I've learned in audio description has tremendously helped me as far as writing. That was one of the challenges I had to overcome, was, you know, because I'm one of these real flowery writers, you know, I get wax rhapsodic about this here and that there. And you know, you just don't have the time to do that in audio description. It's a completely different way of communicating. So I think that's the thing that I really was a challenge, because first of all, you have to learn it. And then you have to learn it in such a way that you can apply it. And when you're talking about applying it, you're talking about applying it in the middle of a project, applying it to every project. And in audio description, that's exactly what you're doing. You have to apply what you've learned. It has to make sense, you know, to the blind, vision impaired audience.
Have you found that the writing has helped your voice, or the voice has helped your writing?
The writing has most definitely helped my voice, because I approach voiceover now with a completely different view of it. Not quite so superfluous. You don't have to say this to get the point across. Seriously, I've had to learn a completely different way of expressing it in writing. So that translates into voiceover. If I'm writing for a commercial, or you know, writing for another type of media, then I now know a different way to say this big long thing, where in audio description I only have 0.27 seconds to say it. You know, before they start talking again. So it's, you know, you jump in there with the, so you learn, you know, different words, you know, you got the thesaurus close, and it's an ongoing education. And that's what I love about it. You know, it's really cool. And so, yeah, it most definitely does help when you're voicing other things and, you know, other projects.
Really sounds like that writing condensing, that you really have to make sure that your choices are solid. And
that's where my education came from, with the folks at AudioHive. I got to give a shout out to my mentors, teachers, and employers. Terry Grossman, one of the greatest audio description people ever. I mean, my God, I just sit there and listen to her. And of course, she's a great teacher, so she's whacking on the knuckles and says, "Okay, now write it," you know, and also, you know, get busy. But you know, and she's had a chance to expose her to several different things. You know, I had a chance to opportunity to work with her on the Rose Parade for 10 years. You know, she took me to my very first stage play to see how that worked with audio description. I was just kind of sitting there with my mouth hanging open, because that's a whole different, it ain't play by play, you know, it's a whole different thing altogether, bub. So, the instruction, I think, is the most important thing. That's where you learn how to do it, how to be brief, you know, how to approach it. Understand that you're not talking to handicapped people. You know, like I said before, you have to approach this thing with some dignity. You don't have to tell people the phone rang. They heard it. You know what I mean? And coming into that, when we make jokes about bad description and we laugh about bad description all the time, but in many cases, that's what people get. They get the machine. What do you say? What was that? You know, we don't know. It's gone now, you know. Or it repeats it, you know, or three or four frames back. You know, I'm never a fan of that. No, you get somebody who's telling you what the guy's thinking, and we don't need that either, you know. So there are guidelines and instructions you have to follow. And like I said, I've been blessed with great teachers who've been able to say no this way, you know, or, you know, look at it another way. You know, up to and including, you know, audio production, you know, because working with Chris Snyder is, that's a whole nother world, man. You know, I don't think Chris is blind. I think Chris is like a mutant. I think he's one of Professor X's people, seriously, because he, you know, man, when it comes down to audio, the precision that audio description should have, then Chris is very, very much dedicated to that. And I also, you know, once again, I come from a different direction, but I also come from a teaching and an upbringing of excellence. You know, you don't do it unless you're going to do it right. And if you're not going to do it right, give it to somebody who will. And that's especially important in audio description.
Let's talk about the voice talents that you bring. You focus on excellence. I know as a voice actor, I bring intention in who I'm talking to, that if I'm speaking to someone who I respect, it's not going to come across in a condescending way. That really struck me when you used the word dignity. Can you talk a little bit about how the voice makes a difference in audio description?
Sure, I can, because as I said, you know, at the folks at AudioWise, they take every aspect of it into consideration, and that includes casting. It really matters who voices what, and everybody doesn't feel that way. It's a matter of opinion, you know, and it takes an extra step or whatever, you know, but there's actually a consideration that goes into, first of all, the casting of the thing. I get a chance to have a lot of fun. I get cast for all the horror stuff. I get into the deep registers of my voice, and I get real spooky. Chris makes me sound like a Boris Karloff or somebody, you know what I mean? So it's awesome. I get a chance to play with that. We have some urban comedies that I've had a chance to do, and I get a chance to not necessarily relax in the audio description, but go with the flow. I did a little blog a few years ago, and that's one of the things you have to do. You have to go with the flow of the material. So, and, you know, when you, the dignity goes along with the movie that's being presented. You know, you're not taking anybody by the hand and saying, look, see over there, that they're walking down. That's not what it is. That's not what it is at all. You have to tell the story and not, you know, not screw it up, not part of the story, not take over the attention, but at the same time, give the story the dignity that it needs. You know?
And that going with the flow really makes a difference depending on the tone, like you said, whether it's a comedy or a horror, or even if it's the Rose Parade or, you know, no matter what, there's a different intention, yeah?
I get the easy job at the Rose Parade. I'm the color guy, man. I sit there and go, oh, look, it's so pretty. Look at the smoke. Wow. You know, man, listen, I get to be 12. Okay. So, and Terry's right there to reel me. Okay, Herb, what else are they doing? Wow, they're dancing real nice over there. They're kicking their legs up and stuff. And, you know, so believe me, it is different. And again, it's not play by play, but I'm a big parade fan. You know what I mean? And I'm just like millions of other Americans in the sense that I grew up watching this, you know, but I'm not like millions of other Americans in the fact that I get a chance to actually participate in it on such a high level. See, this is a very, very high level. Audio description is a high level. People don't understand that. They don't get the importance or the, how can I say it? I guess importance is probably the best word, of the communication of audio description. You got people like me who cheat. They put the audio description on and go cook. And they don't miss anything. You know what I mean? hey, girl, did you hear salt? Blah, blah. You know, and they're nobody's missing anything. And there's only one blind guy in the family. You know what I mean? So everybody's, you know, they're all taking advantage of the audio description. I'm telling you, people are taking advantage of it. You know, and I love that. And what we need to let people know and what them bring to the fore is how important it is. As they say, you know, it's not just for a chosen few. It never was.
And as you said, with growing up watching the parades, now there's a bunch of audiences that use audio description that are able to grow up and enjoy the parades.
It's very awesome, you know, and I tell you, it's like I say, it's, and it came from volunteering. Let me say this. When I was reestablishing my voiceover career out here in Los Angeles, which was pretty scary. It's been about a good 25 years, okay? Everything had changed from, you know, analog to digital. There was a quantum shift, you know, just technically, you know, and let alone, you know, recording and voicing and all, you know, the whole nine yards. I had to relearn everything. But I was ready to go, you know, ready to do it. And I was curious, praying. I was like, whoa, Lord, what do I do here? You know, where do we go from here? And it came to me, plant a seed. And I was like, plant a seed. He said, volunteer, plant a seed. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? Maybe they've got a place like back in St. Louis, in Belleville, Illinois, where I was reading. Maybe they got some place like that out here. You know, and they did, by God. You know, the L.A. Radio Reading Service, by gum, with, you know, with my buddy, you know, Jolie Mason. You know, my love, and she is, again, another mentor, another person who took me under their wing and lovingly instructed me in the right way to do it, you know, how to do it. And by volunteering, I volunteered there. Jack King. Jack King's one of the audio gurus at Disney. Also volunteers with LA Radio Reading Service as their audio guy. He's giving me a little quick tour, right? And he says, yeah, Herbie, we got this and we got that. And, you know, we'll have you running this. And I'm like, oh, good. I'll get my hands on learning, you know, new stuff, new digital stuff, new toys, you know. So I'm excited because, yeah, we use the Audacity program, you know, for the rebroadcast because that program is free and blah, 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 blah. I was like, whoa, 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 wait. That program is free? He goes, yeah. I said, you mean I can go home and download that program and record myself at home? Myself? He said, yeah. So I had never heard of Audacity before. Let me tell you something. My first three big professional voiceover jobs I got with that Audacity system. And had I not volunteered at the LA Radio Reading Service, I would have known nothing about it. As they say, the rest, and the rest, as they say, is history. But it came from that. So there's a connection there. You know, there's a not only a connection, but there's an opportunity for advancement and there's an opportunity for real career, not just here. So this is a very, very big part of what I do, audio description. You know, I love it. I'm thoroughly involved in it. I'm constantly learning to get better at it. You're definitely going to be doing it at AudioWise because they ain't playing. You know, they want it done right. And I can agree with that.
And it sounds like that experience at LA Radio Reading Service, that by planting a seed, and obviously the opportunities that came, that it's not necessarily that you were expecting those opportunities. You didn't see them coming, but you knew that this was the step that you, the next step to take. And then once you took that step, then you saw the next step.
I was driving up and down the street looking for studios where which I could record. I had no clue out here, you know? I'm like, you know?
25 years, that's Thomas Guide.
Yeah, man, let me tell you something. We're looking through the map. What you, honey, you know, I had my chirp, you know what I'm saying? My chirp, you know, man, it was crazy. But it got simplified immediately. And of course, and the opportunity to even do the Rose Parade, they were like, you know, would you like to, you know, be involved in the Rose Parade? And I was like, can I pick myself up off the floor first and then say yes?
And all that, you know, wonder and excitement and enjoyment that you have from the parade came out.
It's tremendous because it's so funny. Somebody asked me, one of my voiceover colleagues, because we're looking for a dollar, or all of us. You know, the voiceover actor, their job is to find work. That's it. You know, one of my colleagues asked me, he said, man, that sounds like a sweet gig. How much you get paid for that? I was like, paid. I said, let me tell you why I get paid for the Rose Parade. I get an all access pass backstage to the most tremendous gathering in the year, in the world. Everybody in the world is watching this thing, and I get a chance to talk about it from behind the scenes. I get a chance to actually go look at the floats and see what the floats look like before anybody. Are you kidding? That's my paycheck. My paycheck is that pass, that all-access thing that says, Herbie, you can come in and look. It's a tremendous thrill. I don't need any more than that, but there has to be that spirit of volunteer. Everything, your paychecks are different. And sometimes you get paid in, you know, in gratitude. Sometimes you get paid, you know, you get paid in association sometimes. You know, it's not always in the cashy money. Maybe I shouldn't say that because we're trying to get the cashy money people to invest in audio description.
Well, you're in the context that you're talking about it, you're saying that as you started, you were volunteering because that's where your passion was. Mm. And that, mm-hmm. that passion helped develop your craft so that now Indeed. That you are at the professional level, that you are able to say, this is value, and that your work is valued in a way that's compensated, in the way that's fair. So I don't see any contradiction here between the work that you did as a volunteer and now as a professional saying, I'm valued.
Indeed. And that's, I think that's the one thing that I want to convey to other actors and other voice actors, because and some of the folks, I know a lot of folks who are involved in audio description, not necessarily with Audio Eyes, but with other companies, and they're doing it. And I know these folks are professionals. They're doing it and they're doing a great job at it. So it's beginning to spread. I would like to see the love of and the work for the work in audio description spread to another level. There's so much media out there. My wife went to St. Louis and brought home a Roku, and we reduced our cable bill and started getting all this weird programming, all these strange movies that we hadn't seen in years. And, you know, and I was, my mind, of course, went to, are any of these things probably not. You know, I'm like, wow. You know, so there's a whole new avenue of media work that's available, you know, for audio description on Pluto, on, you know, Roku TV, whatever these myriad of, you know, the Western Channel. Oh, my God. They got some of the worst Westerns in the world. But we'd love to describe them so everybody can laugh. You know what I mean? Everybody's got to be able to enjoy these things, you know. I would love to see an interest and a spread into those areas. You know, the repeats, the cult favorites, that kind of thing. We had a chance to do Audio-Wise had a contest for listeners, and a lady won. She got a chance to pick the specific movie she wanted to have described, and it was the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I went nuts. They asked me to voice it, and I couldn't be happier. We were, and of course, and I confess, you know, Michael Grossman, engineer, but we did pause so we could do the time warp. We did that, so we got that out of our system. And continued on with the description. It's just a jump to the left, man. You know what I mean? That's it. It's an easy thing. You know, but I would love to see audio description go into those areas. We have a chance to do some of those films, you know, some of the types of films at Audio-Wise, some of the, as we say, the cult classics, some of the underground favorites, that kind of thing, you know. So, but I'd like to see it get bigger.
Anything else you'd like to share, Herb?
I think the main thing I'd like to share is the fact that audio description it's not a niche industry. People want to say, oh, you do that. It's a niche industry. Listen, the work that we've done has appeared on Netflix. I'm very happy and godly proud to say that we did Greenleaf, you know, for four seasons. And I was the audio description voice for Greenleaf. Let me tell you something. If you're walking around behind Keith David, you tread lightly. You know, it's one of the greatest ever. You know what I mean? Whether he's doing on camera or off camera, you know, this guy's got, he's got some pipes. I had a chance to do the writing for that show and the description. When you do something like that, you have to realize that's not a niche. That's 40 million viewers. That's not something that's hidden under a rock. And as soon as people begin to not treat it like it's some sort of a little pet project or some kind of an annoying little thing that they have to do, you know, the government's making us do this. As soon as they get past that mentality, they'll get a chance to mine the true riches of what audio description is all about. You know, description is, man, there's a whole bunch of just great stuff to be able to work with. Let me tell you, we worked on the Jungle Book, the original, from the 1940s. One of the toughest writing assignments ever, because you have like 20 minutes of fire. The forest is on fire. How many different ways can you say, it's on fire? Everything is burning. Then, you know, 10 minutes later, you say, it's still burning. You know, you hear a tree crash. A tree crashes. So that gives you a break. All these things, they each have their own personality. They each have their own, as you say, flow. You know, and for me, that's the enjoyment of it. You know, you get a chance to get into all these different movies, all these different scenarios, all these different, even characters, you know. Like I said, you know, when you do audio description for a Snoop Dogg movie, dude, that's the ultimate. And on that note, I'm done.
Herb, how can we follow you either on social media or otherwise?
Facebook, you can just show up on Facebook, Herb Merriweather. The website is also available, HerbMerriweatherVO.com. And you also get a chance to hear my lovely wife, Cora. Cora does a little audio description herself. She is also a tremendous singer. You get a chance to hear some of that on the website. You know, but that's the way you connect with me. I'm also on LinkedIn and
Thanks so much for joining us, Herb.
God bless you, man. I appreciate it, Roy. Great to see you.